Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
If you have a Bible this morning, I would like you to please turn with me to Romans 5. I always say this, but I like everyone to turn and read along if you can to see that what I'm reading is what God's Word actually says. So, starting in Romans 5 this morning, in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. I want to ask a few questions this morning, starting off. And we will answer these questions at the end. What does it mean or entail that Christ died for us when we were without strength and ungodly? What does it mean or entail that God commendeth his love toward us while we were yet sinners, Christ having died for us? What does it mean when it says we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son? And what does it mean or entail to receive the atonement? That word atonement in the last verse we read means this: exchange or restoration to favor. I want to look at this morning the subject of a sacrifice, a substitute. What our passage is talking about is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for his people. We can see when we read in the Old Testament that God set up ordinances for the nation of Israel, where animal sacrifices would be slain and their blood shed. This was all a part of God's law given to the nation of Israel. Most people only relate to 10 commandments, but the 10 also include all these animal sacrifices. There are hundreds of commandments that go along with the 10. These sacrifices were but a picture, a type only. These sacrifices would only typify that one sacrifice that would accomplish what we have just read here. I want to look at three things this morning and give you what God's Word says about these things. What does God's Word tell us about sacrifices? Why is a sacrifice needed and for who? What does the sacrifice of Jesus Christ really mean? I want to first look at and answer these three questions first, and then we will answer the questions I first asked concerning the passage we have read based on Scripture. So let's first look at what God Himself tells us in His Word about sacrifices and the sacrifice. We first have the burnt offering in the Old Testament. We can see that the burnt offering was for the atonement of sin in its typification. In Leviticus 9, let's turn to Leviticus 9, please. Leviticus 9 in verses 2 and 3. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering, without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, Take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish, for a burnt offering. Some offerings were made in the morning and some in the evening. In Exodus 29, verses 38 and 39, we read this. Now this is that which thou shalt offer up on the altar. Two lambs of the first year, day by day continually. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. So back in that time, a sacrifice, which meant that it would probably have its throat cut to drain the blood and then to burn it with fire. This is a pretty gory picture. But this is what God required. So this is what they had to do according to the law, according to the Ten Commandments. The Scripture tells us that there is nothing remitted, that is to say, forgiven without the shedding of blood. Hebrews 9, let's turn to Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9. In verse 22, we read, And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. What is there no remission of without blood? Sin. There is no deliverance from sin, and that's the meaning of this word remission. It means freedom, deliverance, forgiveness, liberty. So if anyone is to have forgiveness of sin, or pardon of sin, or deliverance from sin, there has to be blood shed. But Scripture also tells us that all this bloodshed in the Old Testament did not take away one sin. There had to be thousands of animals who shed their blood, and yet not a one of them took away or pardoned one sin. What does God's Word say about it? Again, in Hebrews 10 and verse 4. Hebrews 10 and verse 4. Hebrews 10 and verse 4 says this, For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. God Almighty tells us in His Word that the blood of bulls and goats, even back then, could never take away sin. So no man was ever saved by those sacrifices, nor will they ever be. Jesus Christ is the only sacrifice whose blood was able to take away sin, to whom these sacrifices pointed to. And I say take away. I want to come back to that in a minute, talking about Jesus Christ and His sacrifice. But first, I want to ask the question, what is the sacrifice needed for, and for who is this sacrifice needed? The fall of man, which was seen in the federal head of all men and women, which was Adam, this fall necessitates the need for some kind of payment to God for that sinful rebellion against Him. Most men and women do not see the extreme nature of their sin against God. Most people think they are pretty good people, no matter how good you might seem to be when you are compared to other fallen men and women, when you are compared to the holy, separate, just nature of God, our sin is so extreme that we are a stench in God's nostrils as we are born in Adam. This rebellion and this sin, and when I say sin, I mean a capital crime against God Almighty. All sin and any sin is a capital offense against God Almighty. We are a stench in God's nostrils because we are dead in trespasses and in sin. Someone might ask, how dead are we? We are D-E-A-D dead. As dead as you can get spiritually. No life to God. Because of this offense, and since God is eternal, He requires a payment that we cannot make. We are all, first of all, dead in trespasses and in sins. So there is nothing we can give to God that He requires, because all we do is sin by nature. God requires death and blood. Since God is eternal and requires satisfaction that is eternal, then our soul will forever die before God. Without Christ, we are without hope and in the world. Unless we have someone to take our place who will offer up sacrifice perfect enough, eternal enough, to satisfy God Almighty eternally. This is what Scripture testifies to. It does not matter what we think about it. It only matters what God says about it in His Word. First of all, we know God has told Adam that in the day he ate of that fruit, he would surely die. And Adam died. You can read that in Genesis 2 and verse 17. We died in Him as our federal head. Let's read Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What is the result of this death that has most assuredly passed on to us according to Scripture? Proverbs 14:12 tells us this. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So according to Scripture, no matter what way seems right to you, or what seems right to me, the end of it is death. What do we read in Romans that we are by nature? No matter how good we might think we are, this is God's summation of us. Romans 3 and verse 9, it says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, this is everybody, that they are all under sin. What else does it go on to say in that passage to describe every son and daughter of Adam? Jew and Gentile, it says. It says, there is none righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth. None that seeketh God. They are all gone out of the way. All are unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps are under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. They do not know the way of peace, and there is no fear of God before their eyes. This is what God says about all of us by nature as we are born in Adam. This is who God says we are. To everyone listening to me this morning, this is what God says about you. This is what God says about me, as we are born in nature. The reason you do not know this is because of your heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The answer to that question is no one but God. God does know your heart, and He knows that it is desperately wicked. If you think you are good, or that you can do some good, God tells us in His Word that your heart is deceiving you. It is telling you that you are good, when in fact it is wickedly against God. You want to say that you can at least will to come to God? Your heart is deceiving you, and it is wicked against God. And you don't even know it because it has deceived you. In Job 14 and 4, we read this. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And then he answers it. Not one. Proverbs 21 and verse 27 says this. The sacrifice of the wicked, that's all of us by nature, is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? So what is God going to do with those who are like this? And we already see that that is what we all are like. If you do not believe this, then you do not believe God and what he said in his word. And in fact, are calling God a liar. You are doing as those did with Stephen and stopping up your ears so you cannot hear the truth of God. In Nahum 1 and In Nahum chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, we read this. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. So what is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Since I have no intrinsic holiness, and I have no righteousness of my own, there had to be one who would and could pay the debt of sin I owe. There is this great gulf between God and man, and we need a daysman betwixt us. Someone who can bring a thrice holy God together with a fallen, sinful, wicked man, restoring that man to favor before God. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, we read this. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Listen to me, this had to be a man. This man was none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. He was the substitute for his people. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all those Old Testament sacrifices. Maybe you might think that those sacrifices meant something to those people back then. But Scripture tells us those sacrifices, did nothing for sin. Did those sacrifices have to be made back then? They most certainly did, because God commanded them to do it. They had to make these sacrifices because those sacrifices, were pointing to Jesus Christ the Lord and what he would accomplish when he came to this earth. He took my place and suffered and died for me to take away my sin so that they are as far as the east is from the west. Did he suffer? Did he die? He most certainly did. He tells us himself, it is finished. What is finished? Salvation is finished. We do not believe God to bring about our salvation. No. But to acknowledge that salvation was accomplished by Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ the Lord was God manifest in the flesh. God came down himself to make an atonement for sin for us, as our passage says. For us, for we. He was a substitute for some people. There are some people who Jesus Christ did come to make an atonement for. It is us. It is we. Are you a part of that group? Are you the sinner? Are you ungodly? Are you an enemy of God? This is who God tells us here that Jesus Christ died for. If this is not who you are, then Jesus Christ did not come to die for you. Ah, but if you are, rest assured, Jesus Christ has already finished the work to be done for salvation. Just believe Him. To not believe the record God gave of His Son is to spit in God's face. So now, let's go back and answer those questions that I asked at the first this morning. What all does it mean or entail that Christ died for us when we were without strength and ungodly? Christ died for us when we had no strength to call out to God, to cry out for mercy to God, to walk for God, to work for God. We had no strength, so we could do nothing towards God at all. We were also ungodly. Men and women today do not think they are ungodly. They think about God all the time is what they think. We are all ungodly as we are born in Adam. Some of them do not realize, and some will never come to realize, that their thoughts of God do not match up with who God says He is in His Word. This is all of us by nature. Ungodly, totally opposed to God. Unless God Himself does something to change that, then we will remain that very way. What does it mean or entail that God commendeth His love towards us while we were yet sinners, Christ having died for us? We have sinned against God. This sin, as I have previously said, is a capital offense against God. Sin requires a perfect sacrifice. If we are sinners, and that is clear from Scripture, from everything that we have seen, everyone is a sinner, then we cannot perform any type of sacrifice that is acceptable to God. Being in sin, we cannot even pray to God, and He hears us. In John 9, let's turn to John 9. I'm going to read one verse in John 9. John 9 and verse 31, we read this. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. So how is it even possible for us to be united with God again? Well, the answer to that is in the answer of the next two questions. What does it mean when it says we're reconciled to God by the death of His Son? When Christ died, Him being the perfect sacrifice because He is God, so He is holy, He's just, He's good, He's righteous, He's clean, no blemish in Jesus Christ. This sacrifice being a sweet-smelling savor unto God the Father, He pleased the Father, and those for whom He died are also a sweet-smelling savor unto God, because when God smells them, He is smelling Jesus Christ the Lord, because those who are His are in Him. What does it mean or entail to receive the atonement? In time, those who are ungodly, those who are sinners, are sent the Spirit of God giving them life. That life where the Spirit of God dwells. And the Spirit of God having all the characteristics of God which are given as gifts to those for whom He has chosen. Those believe Jesus Christ, and because of that faith given by the Spirit of God Himself, the faith being the very faith of Jesus Christ Himself. This meaning that He had this faith, which He started and He perfected. He being Jesus Christ the Lord. This faith, since it is His faith given to us as a gift, points those who have it to Him, to Jesus Christ the Lord. Oh, has God given you this? Have you received the atonement? Can you believe Jesus Christ? If you can, then He will and does hear you, and it is because of what He has done. Cry out to Him for mercy. Join with Christ. Join with His people who speak of this almighty, sovereign, just, gracious God. Rejoice in Him as Him being your substitute that has taken the wrath of God that was earned by you and has joined you together with Him in Himself. So let's read our passage one more time in light of what we now know. Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Do you believe Him? Is He your atonement? I hope He is this morning. On this same station on WVVA-CW, we have another broadcast at 12 noon that we have our Sunday morning messages on. I ask you to listen in, tune in at that time to hear the same Jesus Christ and Him crucified message.